whether you want to
buy, buy, buy.
In a bear market or
sell, sell, sell
in a bull market. Jim Cramer can help you become a better investor. Mad Money, weeknights 6 Eastern. Listen to CNBC on the Odyssey app.
It's time to wake up with a nice cup of morning roast.
He was not a great president.
Drink.
Fillmore's finest, Monte Hill. The pride of the Excelsior, Joe Butcher Boy Shasky.
Take
him out. You're listening to 95.7 The Game, the morning roast.
Trades are hard.
Leave Uncle Joe alone. And we're not talking about Sleepy Joe. He's trying to stay awake at Jimmy Carter's funeral. We're talking about Joe Lacob. Leave Uncle Joe alone, man. Anyway, oh, baby. Oh, baby. What a day. Oh, what a day. This starts a stretch of where we get the Warriors in a back-to-back, and then we get 5 straight days of football. Notre Dame, Pitt State today in the Yards Bowl down to South Beach, Miami.
Let's go, Irish!
Tomorrow. I kind of, in my pool, I got a bracket pool. I need Pitt State to win in order to win the pool, so I root for the Knicks. Although I don't. I
James
don't,
Franklin.
Listen, I'm not rooting for James Franklin. I'm rooting for Abdul Carter and Singleton and those Pitt State Nittany Lions. James Franklin's a clown.
And Joe Fortenbaugh.
Oh, gosh. You know, R.C. Davis. Team R.C. Davis. When I think of Pitt State, I think R.C. Davis. We are. Joe Fortenbaugh's a fraudulent Pitt State fan. He don't even claim Pitt State half the time. Anyway. You get that today. You get Ohio State, Texas tomorrow.
Can't wait.
You get Wild Card Saturday. Wild Card and the Masters, number one weekend in sports. Please.
Well, explain that opinion.
No. We'll get to that tomorrow. And by the way, it was such a soft take that Carter's high school basketball coach, my guy Charlie, Coach Charlie, even texted me and said, Carter is so damn soft. I'm so disappointed. We're actually going to pull his name off the rafters at Stuart Hall.
Well, it has to be up there first.
When Charlie himself texts that in, that's when you know it's a bad take. Charlie.
Coach Charlie.
Yeah.
Don't say anything bad about Coach Charlie.
Oh, who cares?
Better leave him alone.
Carter, I love you.
Coach Charlie, say something.
Okay. Hey,
Coach Charlie
this
Johnson.
Weekend is a great sports weekend, but we all would agree it's a football weekend, right? Football. What the beauty of the Masters is it's like a charcuterie board. Not only do I have golf, but I also have Major League Baseball starting up at that time. I also have the NCAA
You don't even watch college basketball.
Oh, I watched Eric Musselman and USC play over the weekend. Believe me, and I was like as shocked as anyone. Musselman's a coach of USC?
See, you didn't even know this. He
and
left
then
Arkansas
you got
last
the
year.
NBA playoffs all at once. So it's not just one sport.
No.
Plus, I also have draft talk. That's the best time of the year.
No. The Masters have
the frost is defrosting off of all of the flowers.
This
and
weekend.
Things are blooming.
You see, this is where you need to start watching some Premier League soccer.
This weekend's great.
Premier League soccer.
This weekend, agree.
This weekend will be so much better than anything
weekend.
The Masters produce. You know, anything else.
Really? If Tiger Woods wins it all. Come on.
Stop.
Well, I'm just saying.
If Rory completes the Grand Slam,
Tiger Woods won't even make it to Saturday.
It's actually not an inaccurate opinion.
He won't even make it to Saturday.
That was pretty good, Monte.
So, yeah, come on. You guys underrate my golf knowledge and my soccer knowledge. I'm telling you, you guys got to stop this. Oh, the Australian Open. You see the champions walking to the draw with the trophies? Sinner. Look at the repeat.
Well, he's a cheater.
It is a great sports weekend this weekend, though. Yeah. There's no question. Maybe the Warriors can get a win tonight and start the weekend off right.
Well, we'll talk to Anthony Slater at the bottom of the hour, and I don't know if we'll see who's in, who's out. I saw a quote with Gary Payton II said he's ready to go, but you know the staff is holding him back.
I'm not optimistic.
He was wearing a pair of pants the other day.
I know.
That were. Do you remember the old JNCO jeans? Giant jeans everyone used to wear in the late 90s.
Those are in now with the kids.
Yeah, they're super in, and I'm so out on those.
Well, you're an old man now.
Well, I don't care. We're not going back. The baggy look.
He's too old.
GP2's 10 years younger than you.
Baggy look.
Yeah, no, GP2's 10 years younger than you, man. It's their fashion.
It's a bad look.
You're just an old white guy now, Shasky.
No, there's no question. You can go a little baggy, that's a bad look. I'm sorry, it won't age well. I look back at the photos of all of us wearing way over-the-top stuff.
Baggy's in again.
No. That's not baggy. That is ridiculously baggy. There is a difference.
It's in now, man. It's got to get with the times.
Tell him.
I'm actually going to get some just for you, wherever it's his studio. By the way, I want to shout out some people who I ran into yesterday. A lot of good people down at the inauguration for Daniel Lurie. Man, he did a hell of a speech by him. We know Daniel. He's a good dude, and it's going to be a hard job, but I think he's up for it. And Linda Breed, shout out to her for holding it down. Black woman from the city, from Fillmore, California, did 6 years. She should be proud of herself for the run she had. But Jesse Peterson, classmate of mine, Gardner Scholars Program at SF State, is now the deputy county clerk.
Oh.
And she's gone through law school, and she went through a tumultuous time growing up. And to see her swear in the mayor of San Francisco, to see her and Zochi, who runs a Guardian Scholars Program, along with Sonia, my girl Keisha came up from San Diego to see Jesse, and to see them crying because Jesse Peterson is up there swearing in the mayor, Daniel Lurie, was awesome. And they told a story up there. It was pretty cool. Then it was a who's who of in there. But I got to shout out Jesse, not only that, Guardian Scholars Program, but also the sheriffs of San Francisco.
Okay.
We got a lot of, we used to talk about this a lot. We used to be the Morning Boast. We got cops. We got gangsters. We got, you know, weed sellers. We got cannabis clubs.
Former defensive coordinators in high school like Brian and Palo Alto.
We got crackheads. We got everybody who's listening to the show. Strippers. Overnight dancers. I mean, you know.
Oh, who cares?
No, you better care. They give us ratings. The sheriffs are all about the roast.
Oh, nice.
But I got to shout out Dwayne Bell, who I went to high school with. He acted as a basketball player in high school and, you know, watched it in high school, maybe won 10 games my senior year, but it's all good. But Dwayne Bell, big. Bonte, you going to shout us out? Yeah, I'll shout you out.
Dwayne, shout out, bro.
Shout out. There you go. DB, the Sheriff's Department of San Francisco, holding it down for us. So shout out to them and everybody at City Hall who are roasters. Anyway, that's it for that early edition.
I believe in Bonte Dent.
He don't even know.
I'm not a two-faced man. I know Dark Knight. See, you underrate that too. I told you what I like. Superman, overrated. Star Wars, in my opinion, overrated.
New Superman.
Dark Knight. Harvey Dent, one of the greatest acting jobs ever. That was one of the greatest acting jobs ever.
Do you know the actor's name?
Joker. He was the offense coordinator any given Sunday. He was Crozier. Remember that? He was the offense coordinator on any given Sunday.
Great acting job. Yeah, what's his name?
What's his name? You know me and Ames.
Aaron Eckhart.
And you know me and Ames. What's why I got shaved shout out?
Do you know the original Harvey Dent actor?
Billy D. Williams. Their names.
Also Lando Calrissian.
Who? Wait, wow. I was talking. What did you say?
You know who Billy D. Williams is, right?
Oh, yeah, Billy D.
Yeah, he was the original Harvey Dent in those Michael Keaton Batman movies. And he's also Lando Calrissian. Shout out Star Wars.
He's a man.
How we feel about Lando?
About as good as I felt about Nick Sorensen. Gone.
Wow.
Lando does totally redeem himself in the newer sequels and comes in with the Millennium Falcon, but neither here nor there. Nick Sorensen, I'm so out on. There's no way he could be your special teams coordinator.
Is he gone? What is he going to get a job at? Steve Wilkes going to get a job this cycle?
He's built for this. Not getting a job.
Is Steve Wilkes going to get a job? Damn, he's out the league.
I can honestly say I'm sort of built for this.
Dude, you guys are so hard on Steve Wilkes. And by week six, we're like, damn, it'd be nice to have Steve Wilkes instead of
Can we just admit that they both
He was
think?
Not a great president.
Before they hired Steve Wilkes, I remember saying to you, and you agreed with me, that it's really hard to nail three consecutive defensive coordinator openings. Like, it's just hard. Like, the law of averages would tell you it's very difficult to hit that. Well, the law of averages would tell you, you got to hire a better guy than who you just had in Nick Sorensen. Yeah. It's almost impossible to hire worse than what you just did.
Yep.
They downgraded two consecutive seasons.
Oh, wow. Steve Wilkes interviewing for the Indianapolis coach job. Wow. Steve Wilkes, Jim Irsay, Shane Steichen. Let's go. Let's go, AFC South.
That sounds
Let's go.
Are they going to transition Anthony Richardson to defense?
You know how I feel about the Colts in their uniforms, man. That's some of the best uniforms ever. All-white uniforms with the horseshoe, man. Nothing like them. Damn, classics. But a guy who was very hard on Steve Wilkes and actually apologized about it, BPA, Brian and Paul Alonso. BPA, good morning.
Good morning.
I was wrong about that one.
See,
although
you know how to hold L's.
I was early. Put a flag in the ground on Thornton. Couldn't get it done.
You were.
I was early.
After I schooled you about that.
With Farhan as well. Yeah, no, you were right.
You're early.
No.
BPA, you got to hold your L. We all hold L's around here. By the way, is Farhan going to get a job anytime soon?
No.
Isn't he consulting for the Dodgers? I don't know.
Real quick, BPA, since we're how do you feel with these reports that the Giants have the worst farm system in baseball?
This doesn't surprise me.
And then watching all the Farhan Zaidi nut huggers trying to disrespect Buster Posey. They're rooting against Posey now. It's unbelievable how much the Farhan truthers are not rooting against the Giants and Buster Posey. It's next level.
It is amazing. He built quite the troll farm, Farhan. It's really, honestly, Chasky said, don't draft a defensive tackle. And as you know, Chasky, I've coached high school defense. Their defensive interior defensive line, they don't have a single rotation guy.
Wait a minute, I gotta know. Where'd you coach high school football at?
No. I can't, dude. I can't disclose that.
I want it to be a mystery.
Was it what league? Just give me the league.
Blossom Hill.
The Blossom Hill League.
I
think he's lying.
Yeah, that means you got family
he's
money.
Lying.
Good spot he's over lying. There. Yeah. Keep going. So you think they actually should draft?
How many points per game did your defense give up?
No.
Were you a blitzing defensive coordinator, or did you run the Y9?
I preferred
the cover soft. 3 scheme, BPA.
I like to run soft zones, like inside the 3-yard line. Back off! No! Get out of the end zone! Get out of the end zone! So the question Chasky is, I think their interior defensive line is, they don't have a single rotation. They don't have a single even rotation level guy, in my opinion.
Yeah, I would agree.
Like, they're bad. They're terrible. Terrible.
They are.
And you have to fix that interior defensive line, more important than fixing the other edge role. Like, Leonard Floyd was fine, I think. I mean, he hit nine sacks. He was okay. But their interior defensive line, I mean, those guys are absolutely getting blown off the ball, play in and play out. They're awful, awful players. Sorry to say. But Brian, hear me out here.
And I don't disagree with your depth chart analysis there. But here's what I would say. I despise taking a heavy, what I call two-down player who's not going to rush the passer.
Right.
To me, it is horrific value to take that guy in the first round unless they are an automatic slam dunk three-down player. If you're a two-down player, I can't take you in the first round. That's for my money. That's why I was kind of head scratchy on the Ricky Pearsall selection if you weren't going to play him right away. They need a plug and play player who can be a three down player for them on either side of the ball.
Yeah, I think it'd be interesting to know how they're going to fix, because a lot of times they resort to sort of half measures.
Yes,
you know?
That's true.
And then it's like, hey, we picked a defensive tackle in the fifth round, but we picked a running back in the third round again, right? Like, they do stuff, or we picked a kicker. So, I think they have to fix it. It's, in my opinion, the number one priority in the entire team personnel-wise is to fix their interior defensive line, because you can't run wide nine concepts when your interior defensive line is getting blown off the ball 5 yards, right?
Like, yeah.
It creates this cavernous hole in the middle of the defense. So
I got two quick questions for you, BPA. One, who would be your top choice for the defensive coordinator job? And two, would you be open to the idea of taking this kid out of Penn State, Tyler Ward, number 11 overall, taking the best player? If he's on the board, he may be the best player available on the board. Would you like another tight end? What's your mindset there?
God, I don't know. I mean, I think the kid from Michigan is actually better than him.
Loveland?
What is it?
Loveland?
Yeah, Loveland. I actually think he's a better tight end, faster, better route runner. I think, What was the question again?
Defensive coordinator choice. If you had a choice to pick your DC.
My choice would be, I'm going to stick to it. Wink Martindale would be my choice.
Ooh, I like that.
If I could have someone, you know. But, I mean, clearly he needs a head coach of the defense where he doesn't have to oversee it really at all.
Yeah.
And Wink Martindale, what I like about Wink Martindale is he can run a lot of stuff. And it, you know, like he's not like beholden to like a single scheme, and he brings pressure, right? He's always bringing pressure. And I think in the modern NFL, we've seen the best defensive coordinators like Flores and Spagnuolo. Those guys are bringing pressure. They're not just rushing four and dropping back into prevent defenses, right? And so I think that's the modern defensive coordinator has to be able to dial up pressure in ways that are unpredictable, and Wink Martindale can do that.
BPA, I'm looking at Woodside High School. I'm looking at Wilcox. I'm looking at St. Francis, Menlo, Los Gatos School. Which one of them are you the DC of?
I'm not the DC. I'm not the DC of now. Okay, I dabbled in coaching years ago. As you know, I work in the tech industry. Not any of those schools.
Darn it.
Scudder Hall.
Oh, who cares?
Here's one of my favorites before we get to Slater. Casey in San Jose. Casey in San Jose. Good morning, buddy.
Good morning, guys. Monte, I had to call in. I was getting ready for my day, getting my shave on, getting the kids ready, and at 7:04, you invoked my name, man. You called me a troll. And I was going to come see you guys because my company's just down the street where you guys are the Doobie Awards at the Laughing Monk. But, you know, I had to go to Dubai a couple of days early, long vacation. But then you took my name. I just don't agree with your opinions. I like Shasky's opinions. He's right about, like, Casey Schmidt being the next guy, and the Verlander with a 6 ERA is just going to transform the rotation for the Giants. I just love his optimism. You are too much of a realist, my friend.
All of the year.
No. Hey, Casey, I said I'm kind of like Mike Francesca. There's something about you, BPA, that just gets to me. And now I'm like, man, this guy, Casey,
is it called me.
What'd you call me last time? You called me the Brock Purdy apologist? Or what did you say I was?
It was pocket watching for Ayuk and for Purdy. What was it? Yeah, it was something to do with like him being,
You said he was his agent?
Yeah, you said I was his agent. Yeah, you said I was his agent.
Yeah, you're his agent.
How was Dubai? I've always wanted to go there, Casey.
You were fascinated by Dubai.
What was it like? Dude. Was that your first time, second time? Sounds like you've been there multiple times.
I went there a couple of years ago just for a couple of days. We kind of got stuck there. So this was genuine 2 weeks, man. Oh. We did it upright. We stayed at the Jumeirah. We went to Abu Dhabi for a couple of days. Ooh. It's next level. Like when you're there for Christmas, man, let's just say that's where all the money to Ukraine went. Oh. It is yachts, and a cocktail is not less than $40.
Oh, wow.
So if you just turn off your moral code, you can have a blast. That's what I did.
Call more often. We are international man of mystery.
Turn off your moral code.
I love his honesty, though.
Dude, KC, man.
That's where all the money from Ukraine went. I mean,
so I'm too much of a realist for him.
I love
so
him.
So he gets mad about that.
He blasted me, too. It's okay.
Yeah, no, these callers are unbelievable.
Oh, yes.
No problem. Yeah, when I'm wrong, just throw it out.
Yeah, I wear the L's. We had D-drop. But at the old station, our sound didn't transfer. When I was yelling into the microphone, I'm wrong all the time. You just wear it.
Just real quick here.
You were right. I was wrong.
Close your eyes. See, close your eyes. If the Niners, give me the draft sound.
I'm closing my eyes.
Okay.
My eyes are closed. Okay, I may fall asleep. So hurry up.
The pick is in. The San Francisco 49ers have selected slothy, slow, heavyweight D tackle with the 11th pick. No one is excited.
This time around, I would not be excited. You know, even the Kinlaw pick, I didn't mind the pick, but then I thought, I was like, well, what's the logic in this? Just tell Buckner to come back. If he holds out, we deal with that. But to trade Buckner for a first round pick, and you draft his replacement and give him Buckner's number.
It was
you do Kinlaw a disservice to where it's like, you better be as good as Buckner. And he was in an uphill battle from day one.
I think it starts for me with ditching the wide nine. Number one. That's the number one thing. And then it opens up who you can go for. I'm telling you, do not take a defensive tackle with the 11th overall
pick.
We're
also scarred.
They can't do it.
We're also scarred from Solomon Thomas.
Solomon, DeForest, Eric Armstead, all in a row.
You draft him. You're like, Javon Kinlaw. Wait, is he an edge or a three technique? We don't know.
They need speed. They need edges. Yes, of course they need to stop the run up the middle. I don't dismiss that. And yes, at some point they would, you know, spread around some of their picks. If you take a two down, I don't rush the passer on third down. Defensive lineman.
That'd be a problem.
With the 11th pick, my head will explode.
That'd be a problem. I hope they don't go that route. I really do. I'm talking myself into this two tight end set. Tyler Ward, we'll see what Notre Dame does against him today. I'll be watching him closely.
Their defensive line's very good.
Notre Dame?
Yes.
Oh, they're legit.
They've got multiple players that I would draft.
Their DBs are legit.
Well, that they've always been.
This is going to be a hard-hitting, old-school football game. Joey Galloway had said that about Notre Dame in Georgia. He goes, Pate's going to be flying in this game. Meaning helmets is going to be colliding. I was like, oh, I like that, Joey Galloway.
Georgia just had no quarterback.
Yeah, he had no quarterback. Gunnar Stockton.
ETN
fumbled in the red zone.
How many balls did they drop deep?
I mean, unbelievable.
I mean, the one guy was wide open. Went off his hands.
Bell. He was dropping stuff. Real quick, can we get to Antonio in Oakland? Get to Antonio before we get to Slater. Antonio, one of my favorites. What up, Antonio? Good morning.
Hey, what's up, you guys? Yeah, I want the Niners to draft edge rusher Nick Scorton out of Texas A&M. Man, that bend he got. And, of course, you know, the interior D lineman is very important, though. You know, because from 1994 through 2014, we have Bryant Young and Justin Smith.
Yeah,
that's 20 years of dominantness inside. So, like, you know, it's very important. But I hear you, though. We do need an edge more. And, you know, you guys got Justin Verlander. I'm an Oakland A's fan. I still got, you know, little scares from the 2012-2013 playoffs.
Yes.
You know, with my A's. He was tearing us up. Ugh. Right. Man, it's horrible, man. But shout out to you guys. Niners, go get that edge and go get Steph Curry some freaking help.
Yeah.
There it is. Antonio in Oakland, man. One of my favorites. He's right. I love it, too. When you get to draft season, we start talking about bids and three-cone drills and everything. Love how he's like, Antonio said, he's got that bid. And I started geeking out. That's why we can't talk A-gap on this show and bends and in-and-out movements, running the now routes, the in-and-out movement, the quick twitch muscles, Trent Taylor going in. By the way, he got retained on a future contract, Trent Taylor. Talk about survival instincts, man. That guy, shout out to Trent Taylor. Alexis a Jalen Carter type player. I agree. Don't take an interior defensive lineman. Yeah, Jalen Carter would have been awesome. Oh my gosh, they need somebody like him so bad.
But again, he falls under. He's a three down player.
Right.
Right. Exactly. There's a big difference.
That's Jalen Carter. Yep.
Yeah. There's a three down players. You're not taking this guy with 1.5 sacks.
No.
Whatever the hell.
I saw that in the mock. I was like, oh my god, he's got the fastest get off first presser, whatever the hell they said. He just needs to learn how to fit his sacks. Yeah, I'm good off that. Anthony Stoner coming up as this segment was sponsored by Chilled Auto Body.
Hey, Dub Mason, it's GP2 here. The Morning Roast with Bonte Hill and Joe Shasty is live on YouTube and Twitch right now. Time for you to like and subscribe.
GP2.
Doing what he's got to do, staying true to the crew.
Hopefully. Maybe back on this road trip soon. We do have Anthony Slater, our 95.70 Game Insider. Athletic NBA writer. Does a hell of a job covering the Golden State Warriors and the entire league. I'm surprised he didn't take a pit stop in Cleveland yesterday, go cover Thunder Cleveland, and then fly up to Detroit today. We'll ask later about that. Right now, as all guests appear on the River Islands guest line, is it a time for you to discover the islands, River Islands in Lathrop? Joining us now, Warriors senior writer for The Athletic, Anthony Slater. What up, Slates? Surprised you didn't make a detour to Cleveland last night.
I'm going to actually catch the part of this Thunder road trip Sunday. They're playing against the Wizards. I know, a spectacular game. But nah, man, when you fly across country, no pit stops to be made. That was a rough travel day yesterday.
Oh, tell us about it. Detroit, it's a long flight. Was it about 4.5 hours?
Yeah, and it's 15 degrees outside right now. I just walked over. I'm at the arena right now. That's Andrew Wiggins. I don't know if y'all can hear the music in the background.
Are they playing LiAngelo Ball song?
I have not heard LiAngelo Ball song. I think you have to do that after a win. It seems to be the trend.
Okay.
And they're not getting many wins right now. So.
Whoa. What is it? Whoa?
We might have to play that a little later.
Yeah. We might have to play that.
Is anyone going
to
play
till tomorrow?
Who's playing in this game? Like, are you suiting up for the Warriors in this game? Because it feels like no one's playing in this game.
Well, I'm watching Kevon Looney and Trayce Jackson-Davis go through like a big man routine right now. They're both available tonight.
Right.
Andrew Wiggins is shooting a free throw right now on the other side of the court. He is supposed to be available tonight.
All right.
I have, of the four questionable guys at optional shoot-around today, I only saw Moses Moody. But that shouldn't necessarily be a signal of who is or isn't playing. I mean, Steph, Draymond, Schroeder are just going to kind of rest up. They have a team meeting back at the hotel at 12:15 local, which will probably be kind of when it gets more decided, like who feels good enough, who doesn't. The other thing is, right, they're playing tomorrow in Indy also. So theoretically, if you expend Steph Curry's game tonight, he probably wouldn't play tomorrow. We'll see, but they've been hesitant. They haven't played him in how many straight back-to-backs? Like four or five straight back-to-backs he hasn't played?
Yep. So, pick your poison, right? Play Detroit, who's playing well right now. They're red hot. They're a game over 500. They beat Brooklyn last night. They're on the back end of a back-to-back, but they got plenty of young legs. It's their 19-18 on the season. And Cade Cunningham is balling, so you want Andrew Wiggins primarily on Cade Cunningham in his basketball game. But GP2 and Pods, sounds like they may be back on this road trip here. And I saw a quote, I think it was from you, Slater, where GP2 said he's ready to roll, but the team's not ready to let him roll. What's that about? Are they just being cautious about GP2?
I mean, he talked a little bit post-game. He was out here doing a workout. He had ice on his calf, ice on one of his knees. He's close. He's very close. He said he's ready, but you're probably not going to drop him on game one of a back-to-back. So, to me, he seems a little closer than Pajemski, who was also out here this morning, but he was doing more like ab stretch work and like core work with Celebrini. They were kind of monitoring him closely. Now they said, you know, they originally targeted, I think it was like, you know, last Monday for, you know, this previous Monday for him to come back, but clearly that ab injury's lingered. So I'm not exactly sure when you'll see him, but you know, maybe on the road trip.
I'm sure you saw the images the other night when it comes to Steph Curry kind of looking into the abyss. What was your read on all that?
He's extremely frustrated with their current situation. He thought they would compete more this season at a better level. They went 12-3, and there was even some, like, you know, he kind of rides the roller coaster like every human does, as far as, like, remember when they were 12-3? We were talking on our segments about, like, is fringe contention possible here? And I think that upped the hopes a little too much of everybody involved, right, including Steph. And then this has been quite a crash back to reality. 6-15 over a 21-game stretch. I mean, they basically for a month and a half been living in like the realm of the Hornets and the Wizards and, you know, the Jazz and the Blazers. I mean, look at where their record over the last 21 games stands league-wide. And the biggest part of that is they can't score. You know, they're bottom six offense. So that, you know, both sides of the basketball would frustrate Steph Curry, but you got to imagine, like, just being on an anemic, inefficient offense is particularly frustrating for him, considering who he is. And you're starting to see it wear on him. And, I mean, we all felt the importance of that Miami game the other day and almost the embarrassment of losing to a Heat team that, you know, is walking in limping after double overtime. The Jimmy Butler thing is looming over their head. They're not some, like, if they got overwhelmed by an athletic young team that they just couldn't, you know, play with on a particular night, that would have been one thing. But it was like, Miami's not athletic. They're not young. Like, they should not have won the other night, but the Warriors just can't score.
No, they can't score at all. And their numbers offensively have been some of the worst numbers in the league since December 1st. As we're talking to Anthony Slater on the River Islands guest line and all guests on 95.7 The Game appear on the River Islands guest line. All right, what's more likely for the Warriors here before we get to the trade deadline, which is coming up in less than a month? Are they more likely to make another deal or more likely to stand pat?
I think another deal. Now, again, I don't think it's going to be necessarily earth-shattering or, you know, going to shake up the – I'm not sure there's going to be a deal in the league that's going to, like, shake up the contention list, you know, unless you know, let's say the Thunder get a Cam Johnson, you know, maybe that solidifies them and makes you feel, you know, firmer about them being favorites in the West. But generally, maybe like some Jimmy Butler three-team swap happens, or he's in Phoenix, and maybe you think that changes, you know, what the Suns are. But as far as the Warriors go, you know, like a Schroeder 2.0 type deal, you know, like maybe a steadier rotation player, consolidate some of your talent, maybe use the rest of your second round draft capital, or maybe a protected first. Obviously the name, you know, I've heard and has been bounced around is Vucevic. You know, I've been talking to the franchise for a while now, but they understand that like stretch five is something they lack and would really help unlock some of the lineups they haven't that are kind of handcuffed. And he's, you know, Vucevic theoretically would seem like one of the more available, appealing options out there, because he's had a really good season, and you would think Chicago at some point needs to hit a little bit of a rebuild.
I mean, yeah, and the Warriors like need to do this like yesterday. Like, how much longer can they wait before making any deal?
That's difficult, because you can't just like force a team. I mean, I guess you could if you just like go over the top with an offer. Like, hey, here's two unprotected firsts, because we just got to get something done tomorrow. But, you know, Chicago, and they're a very strange team to deal with, because they're always kind of like somewhat wanting to win now, somewhat kind of trying to chase down the 7 seed or the 8 seed, getting the play in. You know, they had a big game against the Pacers yesterday. You know, they want to win that game. Vucevic is averaging 20 points a game. He's shooting 44% from three. Like, they're not necessarily just going to give him up. And the reason why the deadline is often where there's, you know, there's maybe 4 trades in the month leading up to the deadline, then there's 12 trades on deadline day, is because that makes teams decide, you know, makes them look in the mirror and say, hey, today is when you have to decide which direction you're going. You have to decide if you're getting any type of draft capital and getting off a salary, or if you're not. Because if you choose not to, you can't get anything. And that's, you know, I think Chicago's of the mindset, and a lot of these teams that aren't Brooklyn, right? Brooklyn's the only one that's like, nope, we're ready to rebuild now. Take whatever you want. But Chicago's still like kind of deciding what they are. And because they can wait, they can just wait to see if you'll up your offer to a level that would feel like an overpay. And I mean, do you think the Warriors should just, you know, throw out a crazy overpay right now because they've just got to get something done over the next 4 weeks
this
prior to the deadline?
This cannot continue. And the longer that they wait, the more difficult that they find themselves in a position of digging out of this vortex they're in. And yeah, so considering that you're not going to play Steph Curry on back-to-backs and baking in some of the stuff that you know is going to be there in the second half, like, you're digging yourself a hole. And the longer you wait, I think the more difficult it comes to salvage this season and just be a playoff team.
Yeah, so I mean, you said like just whatever unprotected first for like a sixth man, you know, like a sixth best player on your team.
I mean, like right now, like, are you talking about this year's first round pick? It's probably,
well, I mean, I would just, I, like, Schroeder's deal is a good example of like, you know, that felt like a smart thing for them to do, you know, and it was a bargain the way they got him, right? Second round picks. But let's say something like that, you give an unprotected first for, and then maybe the fan base and maybe, you know, even the pundits feel a little bit better about, hey, they made that deal. And then the guy comes in and is in a slump and hasn't helped at all. And, you know, like, your situation hasn't necessarily changed that much. Where, I mean, it feels like a very frustrating time for the Warriors, but I'm not sure a complete overpay for a role player now instead of 3 weeks from now is going to solve everything.
I'm
with them on that too.
But here's
I'm
where I land. When it comes to the lottery, it's very unlikely you're going to get a top three pick,
no doubt,
given where they're at right now. And so it's like, that first round pick isn't that valuable. To me, it's not that valuable.
It's just, you know, do you want to bargain from a complete position of weakness, or can you wait a few weeks and bargain for, you know, you, like, as a buyer, you're going to have a better time getting a reasonable deal, you know, come deadline time. Again, unless you can find a partner like the Brooklyn Nets who are more willing, which they did. And, like, the Schroeder deal I thought was smart. It just hasn't really worked to this point. I mean, he's a guy that, when we talk about the next few weeks, like, he's really got to get it going.
Yep.
So does Buddy Hield, another guy I'm looking at right now. So I'm not necessarily disagree. Obviously, it's a very urgent time, but I don't know that it's so urgent that you just got to, like, splurge to get Vucevic, and then, you know, a week from now, he's playing on the team, and they're, you know, maybe they win an extra game over the next few weeks because they got him earlier than they could have. I don't know. I mean, it's a tough position. But again, and I've said it, and I know people don't love to hear it, but like, I don't think there's a lot of like real, true answers out there to solve the frustrations of everyone. Because I just think they're generally flawed overall, and I'm not sure, you know, the answer's out there.
Yeah, no, I 100% agree with you, Anthony, about that. And one thing about the Chicago Bulls, you brought up, they're a weird team to deal with. We know Jerry Reinsdorf runs the White Sox and the Bulls. He's a frugal guy. He's notorious for being a stickler. That's a tough deal to make because I thought they could have moved on Zach LaVine a couple times or Kobe White a couple times. They don't make deals in Chicago, and they're 10th right now in the Eastern Conference. Do you think?
Play in, baby. You get the ninth, you got a home game, too.
Yeah. Do you think that Joe Lacob would be able to stand pat this season, say if they can't make a deal, if things go awry, and now they do get Kuminga back and he plays well, but the Warriors are either in the play-in or out of the play-in altogether. How would Joe Lacob handle that? Because I almost feel like it may behoove the Warriors to just stand pat until the summertime where there may be more players available and you'll still have your assets.
Yeah, I mean, I think you can make a trade now that, like, you know, Vucevic is a great example. If they do get him, particularly if they get him on a bargain, if it's just second-round capital, you have him for, I think it's $21 million next year, and you also have his contract that can be removed. Just like Schroeder, you know, let's say they're trying to get a deal done now and they want Schroeder to be in it. You have to wait until the day before the deadline, but he can be removed. So I think you could tweak now and help now while still – also kind of repositioning yourself well for the future. To your question, and this is why it's a little bit more risky to just throw a first-round pick in a deal right now if it's not like a bigger-scale deal, because then that, you know, it kind of locks what you're able to do on your big offer. Let's say somebody big does come available in the summer. So it's kind of a tricky thing to navigate. But, you know, maybe, I don't know that they'll stand pat, because it does – you know, the frustrations that the fans are feeling, they definitely are feeling that internally. And I do think that, like, you know, movement is desired from them. But I don't, like, they're also, like I said, not necessarily trying to overpay.
How would Steph, you cover this team every single day.
Yeah.
I saw your video. Everybody had video, Steph, and we read it on TV where it looked like he was about to walk to the locker room. Willie and I was looking at the guy. I was like, damn, I've never seen Steph. Like, it's been a while since I've seen him. What would his stance be if the Warriors said, did nothing at the deadline? Or just, you know, just stood pat or same thing, tried to make some ancillary moves here, but it doesn't do anything. Would his stance change with his long-term future to go to, say, Warriors?
Yeah, I mean, I think that he is very involved in these conversations. He was in the... He wasn't in, you know, it's not like he's in every, you know, free agent meeting and trade meeting, but, like, you know, he was part of the Paul George pitched this summer. They all met in L.A. with Paul George. He's talked about it. He knows what was on the table, why that deal didn't get done. He heard, you know, kind of the mechanics available and not necessarily available for Lauri Markkanen. He has plenty of conversations with Mike Dunleavy. He calls them check-ins. So he's going to know more than us after the deadline. He's going to know what they could have done, what they decided not to do, what's theoretically available to them, what they believe they can maybe get done in the summer. And he's going to know it at a much more intimate level than I'm going to be able to report and that the world is going to know.
Anthony.
So his opinion on, like, what, you know, their lack of action or, you know, their willingness to have action later or the believability that they could, you know, really, you know, get something big done this summer, like, his opinion on that is going to matter, and it's going to be hard for us to know fully because he's going to know more than us because he is on the inside of these walls.
Anthony, not knowing the specifics, it's always felt like he's rided or rode with Draymond, you know? Would he be willing to include Draymond, like, in any of these potential deals?
I mean, that would obviously, like, you'd have to know, like, is it the type of deal that would just, like, vault them into championship contention? I'd want to know that. I'm sure he'd want to know that. To answer that question, I mean, he would never say, like, yes to that if I just walked up to him and asked, like, hey, you willing to trade Draymond? Like, no, like, that's not necessarily something I don't think he wants to entertain. It's also not him. He's the one pulling the trigger. But, again, I do think that anything that makes championship number five realistic for him, you'd have to at least think about, right? I mean, that's it sounds like that's really the lone goal remaining in his career.
Interesting. So, Detroit fans may not know who the Pistons are. Another young athletic team, long athletic. How are you feeling about this game for the Golden State Warriors?
In terms of the way they lost. Now, they're playing well. I will say, I was in Detroit last night at sports bar around here. They played in Brooklyn last night.
Yep.
This will be the third straight game the Warriors get a team wheezing in after a back-to-back. But that didn't really work well the first couple times with the Kings and Heat. So, you would think Detroit would be kind of tired. But, again, younger legs. Cade Cunningham's been really good lately. He had a 42-point game, 30-point game. They're confident. What have they – have they won, what, 5-6 in a row right now?
6 in a row, yeah. I think 5 in a row. Could be 6. 5 in a row.
Yeah, I mean, I will say the Nets team they beat last night was, like, 3 two-way guys. They were playing nobody last night. I think the Pistons are favored by a few points.
Yeah.
It's going to matter who's available for the Warriors, obviously. But it's going to be – this is – Toronto seems like the must-have game on this trip, and then I think you want to at least split these first two. That way you would be going to Minnesota 2-1 with the chance to, try to chase down a 3-1 road trip. Then you go home and play the Wizards. Like, there's an opportunity to win some games for the Warriors. I would say this is a softer portion of the schedule, but you still got to go out and actually beat these teams. And like you said, like, every team in the league is, like, better than you think right now.
Yeah, 6-15, last 21. I don't think the Warriors have any gimmies on the schedule. Internally, how are they feeling about Dennis Schroeder? Are they disappointed? Are they let down? Has the adjustment from going to a heavy pick-and-roll type of situation to trying to play read and react, has that disappointed the inner workings of the Golden State Warriors in their brass?
Yeah, I would say that they're happy with him defensively, and I do think he's kind of been somewhat of a pest on that end. But what is he shooting, like 32% overall, something like that? Worse from three. It just hasn't gone that well. I do think there has been somewhat of a transitional phase. I don't think they're running as much pick and roll. I do think the Kuminga injury came in a really bad time for a lot of reasons, and that includes for Schroeder. But he's just got to make more shots. I mean, look, you saw him come in with the Nets and, like, slay the Warriors, mm-hmm. right? Mm-hmm. You saw him on the German national team this summer. And I understand these are different environments where he's, running more specific actions that are more conducive to his game. But also, like, you just got to hit the open three, not wedge it in the side of the backboard. A lot of these, like, he's just cold and in such a funk right now that, I mean, to your question, are they frustrated or not? I mean, the people I talk to, they're being a little bit clear-minded about it, of like, how do you solve these struggles? It's like, just make shots. Buddy Hield, make shots like you have over the course of your career to a better degree. Same with Schroeder. Like, they've got to play better offensively. There's no frustration, disappointment, this or that. It's just, they got to do it or else they're going to keep losing and, the season's going to spiral.
How's Steve doing, Coach Kerr? He's got another year left on his deal. How's he feeling?
I mean, he was frustrated the other night. He saw that. And the other thing, these LA fires are, have, I think, hit a lot of people hard. But, his mother, obviously, she had to be evacuated. He said that in the press conference the other night. I think that kind of added to just the tension of the moment. So he's kind of dealing with that, as a lot of people, especially in California, are dealing with. And also, he's just, that was a bad 3-3 road trip that ended really poorly. Generally, he's been invigorated this season. I remember even going back to camp, people were talking about the type of energy he had. Like, he's not fried. He's not, fatigued. He's really competitive right now, and he's trying to turn this thing around. But I don't generally get the sense that he's, like, giving up or anything.
You think he's going to ride out this contract? You think that he'll play this contract out?
I think that's the idea. That's why it was initially lined up with Steph before Steph added an extra year. Like, at this point, yes, that's the plan. Now, look, if they just careen into the lottery, I think there's going to be a lot of reassessments from a lot of people involved on, like, what the future looks like.
Yep. All right, Anthony, we'll talk to you next week. Have fun in Motown. Stay warm out there, man. Cold front. There it is. Here you go, Anthony. Hold on tight, because I'm tweaking this talent. There you go. And I heard that she want a show. Whoa.
I got to tell you, they were just playing, they always play local music when they shoot around. They were just playing some Eminem. Eminem better than this.
Yeah.
Just saying.
That's a take. Slates.
You can only play, by the way, you're only supposed to play that after a win. Winning locker room.
Oh, yeah, winning locker room.
Winning interview.
Do you think the Warriors will play Whoa or Tweaker by Jello Ball if they win tonight? Will they actually play that? Anybody on the Warriors going to actually play Jello Ball song?
Pat Spencer's going to play, what's the Eminem song? My arms are heavy. Knees weak. Mom's spaghetti. There's vomit on us.
Lose yourself.
This is his one
yourself.
Moment.
Yeah, lose yourself.
Yeah, there you go. Lose yourself. That's Pat Spencer's song tonight because he's going to play for Steph.
Pat Spencer, there you go. I was going to say, it might depend on who gets the aux cord postgame on if that song is played.
Who usually gets the aux cord on the Warriors?
Well, typically it's Khalid on their assistant coaching staff. He's the one that puts together these playlists where every city they go to, it's typically, you know, music from that city. Like I said, there was just Eminem blaring at Shoot Around. So, nice. You know, I don't know. Anyone. The veterans can get it if they want it. I'll tell you that.
Yeah, yeah. Get a little D12 rocking at Little Caesars Arena. Do they give you Little Caesars pizza at Little Caesars Arena?
Yes.
Do you get slices?
This is the best media meal in the league. And it's not just the Little Caesars, although that's one of the options. They'll cook you steaks. They'll do, like, it's widely known since they moved to this downtown arena that this is the best media room in the league.
Wow. Slater's in heaven.
So I'm excited. This is a big game tonight.
It's a huge game. It's a big game for Slates. Big game, Slates,
you,
man.
Buddy.
You're the base. Talk to you next week.
All right, fellas.
Anthony Slater, man. He's good,
right.
too. Man.
For those that don't know what song you just played.
Tweaker. LiAngelo Ball.
LiAngelo Ball.
Yeah.
The brother of LaMelo.
And LiAngelo.
And LiAngelo.
LaMelo.
No, LaMelo and Lonzo.
Thank you. He's now a rapper, and this song sounds so big-timery, Nelly-y, if you will. Like, this has got shades of music we grew up listening to.
You feeling it, Tweaker?
It's not bad.
It's not bad.
Play me it.
Tell me what they talking about.
I've been listening to it.
So Jay-Z, move out the way. Bonte's moving up. LiAngelo.
No, actually, a little India RE and Erykah Badu's been on my playlist as I've been trying to chill and be mellow through the storm of what's been happening with the Bay Area sports teams. Getting my mind right here. I had to put the Nipsey in the Big X to plug. I've been slapping the hell out of Big X to plug and Nipsey during the holidays, but I've been trying to dial it down a little bit, play a little R&B, some soul, put myself in the right mind frame, like D. Wright. When he used to go to the games, he's always listening to R&B. So, but LiAngelo got a banger. And I was looking at LaMelo Ball's Instagram. He pulled up to the Cybertruck, and he looked out the camera
the
on the video. It is terrible.
It is the ugliest looking thing.
It is terrible. I don't know why people linked me with Cybertrucks before. I was like, I don't want a Cybertruck. Anyway, he's whipping it, going, whoa. I was like, damn.
You know what, Doc? It's a great hit, but you got to have more than one hit.
Oh, yeah.
Days.
Well, this is the first one. This is the introduction. It's got more heat coming. Triple B's in the building, baby. And so I saw somebody on Twitter. It took and said, LiAngelo finally made it to the NBA.
Good for him.
You like that host, Benoni?
It's so early 2000s, Nelly vibes. I love it.
Carter, you just start dipping. Whoa.
Yeah, I like it. In the Kurt Warner Rams jersey.
I'm feeling this. It's not bad.
I love the random rapper rocking jerseys and just random flares.
The best.
It is the best.
I mean, if you're wearing an Orlando Pace jersey backwards on stage, you got the streets.
Isaac Bruce, Torrey Holtz.
So sick. Hey, the cars in that video were legendary.
Man. Legendary.
Legendary.
Oh, man. Warriors winning locker room album suggestion, Ride the Lightning by Metallica. That's from No on the text line.
I
don't think they're playing that.
Yeah. I highly doubt they're playing Metallica.
Metallica's not banging in the NBA locker room. I heard what you said. What's you saying? Stand on it, Shasky. Say what you
I'm
said.
Not.
What's saying? Say, say
no,
what you
I'm
scared
out.
Of.
I'm out.
What you scared of, man?
Who cares?
You are listening to 95.7 The Game. I get this way out. I get this league.